Well, it's cozy today. And if you remember last week, we talked about essentials and we prayed together and we talked about how prayer was very important. Today I want to talk about another thing that I know that we all know and believe is an essential. It's not, this is nothing that I'm telling you. You know this, okay? But what I want to do is I want to present what I'm going to share in a little different way so that whenever we're talking to other people, we understand something a little differently about this. The essential that I want to talk about today is community. We value community, okay? It's very important to us. That's why we're here. Every one of us who's here is connected to other people in this congregation in some way beyond just showing up on Sunday morning, most of us, okay? We understand that. We value that. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our lives. But there are many people that do not understand what it is they miss when they don't invest themselves in community. And I can't go into it all in the time that we have. I can only scratch the surface. And as it is, we're going to be skating through certain things. So hang with me and just kind of forgive me for not being able to get into this the way that I wish that I could. But we're going to talk about community. And you know, the community that we share doesn't just have a human dimension. That's what makes it different. You know, there are a lot of ways that people in our culture, in our world, can organize themselves together for one purpose or another. Okay? Either around passions or interests or hobbies or activities. Many, many different ways that we organize ourselves and we create community. But when we talk about who we are as the people of God and the fact that we really do believe that God draws us to, calls us, sometimes plants us in and among other people who also follow Jesus, that's a unique dynamic. There's a divine dynamic to our community. In fact, you know, one of the passages we're going to look at in a minute, you've heard it over and over again, uses the whole analogy of the fact that the people of God together are the body. And you know, a body is one thing, and a body has life. And you can't do without any part of the body. Because without you, that part of the body isn't all that it's made to be. So there's a lot of things we can say about communities, a lot of things we can say, but the issue is here that we're saying the Holy Spirit is right in the middle of it. It's the hands, the feet, the presence of Christ in the world, the physical, fleshly, physical presence of God, presence of Jesus, is the community. And there are certain things that if we don't have the community in our lives, we're going to miss out on some things that we aren't supposed to miss out on, that we're supposed to get and enjoy and experience and give. So I want to talk about some of those things today. I guess I have one more thing I need to say before I launch out. And the fact is, there are a lot of people who, if you use the word church, when you talk to them about what it means to be a part of the called together people of God, which is what the Greek word ekklesia means. It's the called together, called out people of God. It means that God has said, this is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to thrive and live and share your life. That's what that means. But when they hear the word church, they think many times in terms of the way that it is politized and organized and programmatized. That's what they get when they hear the word. Like going to a buffet. In that they feel like many other organizations, that when they come to church, they can come and pick what they want to have or they need for the day. I need a little music program today. I need a little Sunday school here for my kids today. There's a youth program for my teenager. And so what they do, and perhaps what we've done, is we've optioned off the things that we want to do today based on what we need today or what we think is important today. That's how an organization works. It's not how the called out ecclesia of Jesus works. So when you and I talk about community, we talk about church with people. Many times their view is not of community means I need to invest fully. They think what church is and what the community of faith is I come to it just like I come to everything else in the world. And I pick and I choose what I do and I don't want to be a part of. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So if I don't really think that it's all that important that I be there at 9:30, I just won't be there at 9:30. Or if it's not important that I'm in a life group, I just won't be in a life group because I just can't make that work. Or anything else that we do, because it's not just the official event meetings. It's anything that we do as the people of God. It's not convenient for me to call somebody this week and simply find out what's going on with them, pray for. You can fill in the blank, whatever you want to fill in the blank. It's all a part of being community. It's all a part of who we're called to be. So it's not the nice, neat little choices. It's community is we're together, whether we like it or not. We're beautiful, we're ugly, we're frustrating, we're perfect, we're not perfect, we're broken, we're fixed. It's all of it together. So we can't just say yes and no to pieces. That's not community. So let's look at some of the things that we miss if we're not in community. John? So the first thing is if we're in community, we teach. That's what community does. It's not Dusty, Dane, and Rick teach. It's community teaches. It's what the body of Jesus does. Here in Romans 15:14, Paul reminded the church in Rome, he said, I'm convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Now there's a idea behind that, and that is that that's what you're there for. You are there to instruct one another. You're there to teach. The community of believers, that's one of the things we do. And if we are going to be a part of one another, and we're going to experience community, one of the things we're going to experience together is teaching. Next slide, John. Another passage about that. 1 Corinthians 14:26. In this one, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction. Wow. A revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. One of the prominent things there is a word of instruction. What is instruction? Teaching. And it's something that we all share. We can't just say it's just one group of people or one person's job to do the teaching. Teaching is something that happens throughout the community faith. Danny and Katie are back there doing Kids Zone right now. Regina and Miss Jerry are back there right now with the younger kids. Teaching is going on. That's who we are. That's what we do. We teach whenever you get on Luke or you see Abby talking back there on Sunday morning, you get back and you peck them on the shoulder and say, that's teaching. You're teaching. In fact, by what you do, day in and day out, many times you're teaching. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Then what did it say? How are you supposed to teach? It says you put these little things on your forehead, put them on your wrist, you put them on your doorpost, and what's in there? It's actually the Hasidic Jews, what they do is they put that passage on a little scroll in the little leather thing, and if you go look at the live wailing wall, you'll see them with these things hanging off their wrists and hanging. It's called a phylactery. It's this passage. And it's all about teaching. In everything you do, you teach who God is in every way. In community, when Jesus is in the middle of it, you teach. So, if you think about it, if you're not in community, what are you missing? You're not getting taught. People cannot say, if they're really believers, they cannot say that they can do without community. Because it's like saying, I can do without Jesus. You don't get taught. It's one of the important things you miss. You don't get taught. Second thing. Aside from teaching in community, we do that next thing. We correct, which is not something we like to talk about in our culture. In fact, most of the time in our culture, if a church really puts teeth in its church discipline, somebody's going to get a lawyer. Because they don't like the fact that somebody knows their stuff. Now that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, we correct. Yes, we hold one another accountable. In fact, that's a very important part, function of the church, function of the community. Paul wrote to Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and... You know what admonish means? Correct. Okay? It's say, no, not that direction. No, this direction. No, not that behavior. No, we got to change. Now, it's an acknowledgement that it's got to be the power of God that makes the change. But once we've been confronted, we need to be like David. When we have a Nathan come before us and say, oh, no, that story I was telling, that's you. We've got to fight what the culture tells us to do, which is deny and not take responsibility. And take that responsibility. But it never happens if we don't admonish one another. Way too many people have been told that all they have to do to be in a church is sit and listen, or sit and give, or sit and teach Sunday school. But there's so much more. It is come and share your life. And that means you are on notice, and I am on notice, that it's about learning and teaching and correcting. I needed somebody in my life when I first became a believer. And finally, I let the people in my life to do this, who would, if nothing else, their example would confront the things that I was doing that was not godly. Now, I became a Christian in the strangest way. I've told you before, my heart got stomped flat by a girl. And then I just knew that I needed to pursue something that was more stable. And I knew that I had always been loved and cared for and nurtured in a church from the time I was a child. So I cracked open my Bible, read Revelation for some crazy reason, and realized that as a dumb jock, Jesus wins. And I didn't want to be on the losing team. And so from that point, I said, okay, I'm yours. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever. But even after that took place, I didn't go to church when I was at college because it was too awkward for me. I didn't know anybody. I cannot tell you how many times I walked back and forth and back and forth in front of the BSU on a Wednesday night. Pacing. I mean, you would have thought I was crazy because I didn't know anybody in there. But I wanted to go there because I knew what God had started to do in my life, but I was afraid. Well, the funny thing in all that was that eventually he got me through that. But it took somebody living their lives in front of me. I remember, this is silly. A guy two halls down from me got, for some reason, had a bunch of champagne. I don't know where he got it. He was in a frat. I wasn't. But and so he started doling out bottles to people just for, I don't know. But he did. And I was not a real drinker. But I took one of the bottles and I thought, oh, this is cool. And I think I drank about half of it. And then I remember God getting my attention and said, Rick, why are you doing this? You don't even like doing this. You don't like this. Some people get real chatty and silly and funny whenever they drink. I got quiet and I'd go sit in a corner. It's like, well, that doesn't accomplish very much, does it? So God got my attention. He said, Rick, you don't have to do this. Okay, but I had to have somebody living their lives around me who was a believer before I had that in front of me to see that I didn't have to do that. God has started putting people in my life to show me I didn't need that, nor did I have to do that. And so I didn't. I said, hey, I'm free not to do that. Isn't that cool? But it took people in my life, community around me that God had already begun, even though it wasn't through some of the things that I thought, but believers that I saw who had begun to influence me and affect me. And that's the power of correction. It doesn't always have to be an in-your-face confrontation. Sometimes it's just holiness matched up to, maybe you're not. Maybe you need to rethink. Maybe you need to listen. Maybe you need to do things differently. Does everybody understand that? Okay. The problem is that in America, we are so disconnected from one another that whenever someone tries to exercise correction or admonishment, it comes across awkward and harsh because we're not close enough to know that we love somebody to correct them. It comes across as legalistic. That make sense? When you're disconnected and you try to admonish, there's no relationship. And that's what community is supposed to be all about, relationship that we have in Jesus. Okay, next slide. In community, we encourage. We all like to hear that. We all need that. Just this week, there's probably things that we needed somebody to encourage us about or through. And one of those passages that we love to quote a lot is the Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Don't you just like that image? Okay? We're all horses and we have cowboys doing this. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. Sometimes whenever I need encouragement. Yeah, that hurt. No. Sometimes we need to be kicked a little bit. Okay? And if we're not in community, we don't understand that that kick is in love. Does that make sense? Okay. And with husbands and wives, you might as well just we'll interpret it this way. Okay. Regina does that to me all the time. Wake up. Encouragement. Okay. To do, to move, to act, to seek God, to listen, encouragement to do the things towards love and good deeds. The things we know we ought to do that maybe we just don't quite have the courage to initiate or the ability sometimes to initiate. And it takes that encouragement to overcome the obstacles, overcome the barriers. And, you know, it does say, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but we should encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, which we talk a lot about around here. Encouragement. If we're not in community, if we're not investing ourselves or allowing people to share life with us, we miss out on a lot of encouragement that we need. Yeah, if we're really good teachers, you would think that we would do that. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. I don't know about the ought. I'll have to listen to that. Okay. So how is community shared with you? Okay, that's the next question. How is encouragement giving you hope? How about that? Let me give you a chance to share. How is encouragement giving you hope when you needed it? Somebody in community that you're in relationship with, part of the body. How is encouragement giving you hope? How has someone who has encouraged you given you hope? Or motivation, or helped you through, or prompted you to do what you knew you needed to do? Gee, I really am in community. Because that's what that's saying, is I'm not alone. And if you're not alone, it means somebody's with you. Which is a big thing in our culture. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Share. In community, we share. So obviously, you look at the opposition of that. It's that if you're not in community nor experiencing community and relationship with other believers, you're probably not going to be motivated to share, and they can't share with you the way that it ought to happen. It's going to be more difficult, isn't it? In Acts 2, 42 through 47, I know that I've only got 44 through 47 there. We all know what happened when the Holy Spirit fell. We know Peter preached a sermon. We know people came to Christ. We know that all of a sudden the dynamic of the people of God took off exponentially. Nothing was the same. There was not just a flurry of activity, there was a flurry of community. They met in temple courts. They met in homes. They shared what they had with one another. They considered what they had to be useful to help other people. When we're not in community, it's very much more difficult sometimes to see that and to be a part of that and experience that. I know most of you pretty well, and I know that you're generous folks. You share what you have. But there are a lot of people who are outside community that do not know that. They do not experience that because they're not in nor experiencing all the body of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? So you encounter someone who's outside, even, let's say, they may be believers, they may not be believers, but for some reason they have withdrawn themselves from any type of community. They believe, and I would think incorrectly, that they could be a believer on an island, all by themselves, all unto themselves, not having no access to community. Their view may be that the community of faith is a bunch of people that don't share. And it's not because it's not demonstrated all the time. It's because they're outside of the community. Does that make sense? Their perspective has been influenced and tainted because, now, take this back. There are times where we don't earn very good reputations because we haven't been community with Christ in the middle very well. I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about church. Okay? Yes? It's happened amongst us. Okay? But when community is healthy and community is seeking Jesus and He is in the middle and we know that, sharing is one of the things that happens. And that it ought to happen. So I guess when we're withdrawn from community, one of the things that doesn't happen the way it ought to is this sharing. So how has community shared with you and provided for you what you did not have? Can you think of a time? You didn't have, someone shared. You didn't expect it, somebody shared. You know, I think of the various articles of clothing or footwear that have come our direction because my children grow too fast, you know. People sharing, you know. All of Luke's really good Georgia t-shirts probably came from Logan. So people need to know that this is what community is like when Jesus is in the middle of it. And they don't know. In community, we help. Here we go. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God's appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing." And then in all this illustrious list is those able to help others. Those with gifts of administration and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. All those things, he's saying, God puts there. Now the truth is, every single one of us can help somebody in some way. Now, there are certain people that just have a special anointing from God to be in the right place at the right time and know how to do the right thing. You know, for me, it's Don and Bobby. They work on my car. I don't know how to change a brake shoe to save my life. In fact, I go buy the wrong thing, you know, I mean. And then, you know, I need somebody to help me change a belt, and, you know, and Bobby can do it in, you know, an hour and 15 minutes, and it would have taken me 4 hours. If I had tried, I couldn't have done it. Gift of helps. Community. I need that. Without it, I'm just another sucker paying $600 to somebody to work on my car. What about you? How somebody helped you do what you could not do, did not know how to do? There's a lot of resource that God puts in our lives through the people that we're in community with. And we don't have that if we're not in community. We miss out. Next one, John. Healing. In community, we heal. James said, "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up." This is not a function of an individual who has some magical ability to touch a forehead and make somebody well. That is not what is going on here. What this is the people of God coming around and praying with someone, and the presence of the Lord changes their physical condition or whatever situation is. This is something that happens in community. And without community, we're broken, we're frustrated, we're disturbed, we're lonely, we're unhappy, and we're just sometimes a wreck. We need the healing that community brings, whether it's a physical healing or whether it is a relational healing. All of that comes because of community. It's not something that we... Okay, I'm a hired gun when it comes to teaching. I teach it at Savannah State. I teach at Virginia College. I'm an adjunct instructor. I'm not a professor. They pay me per semester, per class taught. Now, we don't hire out people to go do our healing for us. Does that make sense? God gave us that responsibility and that ability as His people. That's who we are and who we're supposed to be. Without community, we don't get to enjoy that. We miss a lot of healing that God's got for us. How many people out there today, in the world that we walk in and amongst, are people who are sick, hurt, dying, and they don't know that the healing that God has for them, they can find in the community that God has provided for them. And last, in community, we rescue. James, just a couple of verses later, says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." If that's not living like a lifeguard, I don't know what is. Community does that. I don't have the ability to go do that in and of myself. But whenever I have the concerted prayer support and authority of Jesus amongst all of us together, something changes. And I have the ability to go, and you have the ability to go. We have the ability to go and pull someone out of dark places. In community, again, community is not just here. I can't tell you the number of times just in the last 3 days. I saw a guy, ended up spending 45 minutes talking to somebody at Target the other day about the coming days. His wife was given 2 years to live 2 years and 9 months ago. She's still working at my insurance agency that I do business with. So I had to call her. Because now, y'all watch out, my daughter's got a license. Because I had to put her on the car the other day, and I got a chance to talk to her after I talked to her husband for 45 minutes the day before. And before that was over, getting a chance to say, you know, Margie, you know, we just love you. Because she's always there to, she always does what I, you know, need to do. She explains everything to me. She's, you know, she's got a sweet spirit. Yeah. So in that case, I didn't even know that about Margie. But while Ron and I were talking at Target, we were having church. And I don't know, as I'm standing there thinking, you know, I'm wondering who's listening to us have this conversation. We were having community. I don't go to church with Ron anymore. I'm going to spend eternity with him. But we share, even if it's haphazardly, we share life in some way. I look at all these things. These are all things that Jesus wants for each one of us to enjoy and experience. It is His life. I believe it's part of His salvation being worked out in our lives. And it comes to us through community. And without engaging in community, there are people with us every single Sunday. There are people who come to our life groups. And the reality is not only that, but especially that they don't understand there's more. And they, what they are looking for and longing for is here. Not in this building, but with us. Because that's who God's made us. And it's so very, very small to think that it just happens on Sunday morning or even in life groups in homes, in that 1 hour and a half. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who need to know that community is so much more, and that they desperately need what Jesus has provided for them in community among His people. And if they don't know, somebody's got to show them and tell them. And since we do, I guess that's us. Somehow we've got to communicate better. I'm going to tell you something. This is a little, I had a little conversation with one of the gals that I share an office with at Savannah State. She goes to another church here in town. I didn't even know that until we had this conversation. And, you know, she said, "Well, where are you?" And I said, "I'm, you know, at Sycamore Church." And, you know, she's, you know, it's the normal church questions. "Well, how many people are you?" And all that kind of stuff, you know, because how people define you. And I said, you know, 150 on a Sunday, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, "But, you know, I think the really cool thing is that we live bigger than we are." And she said, "Yeah, I've heard that about you." Yeah. We do bigger things. Y'all don't, I mean, I don't know if you think that. And the entry point for her was the resurrection dance. She had heard about that, okay? But she's thinking that we're bigger than we are in terms of numbers because of the things that we, not the things that we engage to do, endeavor to do. Baseball camp. A church of 150 doesn't do that, okay? Not like that. A church of 150 doesn't organize and give away a resurrection dance. You know, it's the whole idea of we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for the kingdom. And that's why I believe God lets us do things that are bigger than we are. I want more bigger things, okay? Don't get me wrong. But for us, it's not about the event. I mean, we love doing it, but it's not about having this great event. It's about doing what God allows us to do and kind of letting Him do whatever He wants to with it. But we do it in community. We don't send out people to go do Lone Ranger stuff. Even when we send people to Nigeria or Haiti, we send them in a team. I know other people do the same thing when they go to do missionary stuff, but we still talk to the people that we went to go work with in Nigeria. We still talk. Some of you guys, Facebook, Brother Pierre, he'll talk to a barn wall. I mean, he's just looking for fellowship. I mean, that does not happen every day, okay? Because it wasn't an event. It wasn't a been there, done that. It's we share community. We've got to let this get out of us somewhere. We got to let it ooze out our pores. We got to let it get out of this place so that people can understand the essential importance of community when Jesus is in the middle. And you know, my favorite story about scaling back the armies has to do with Gideon. And you know, ultimately the guys he went to war with didn't even have to fight, did they? All they had to do was take a pot and crack it and let God go do the fighting. All right, I'm done. I believe God's talked to us today. And we've got to let people know this. Okay? Got to let them. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to tell you that we are very grateful that we are a part of your body. That, Lord, we get to share the life of the body. And that, Lord, there are people that we know that if they only knew, we wouldn't be able to get them out of our lives. Lord, I'm praying that you would help us to break down those barriers and move them closer to what you have for them in your body. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.